Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Shall we?
We shall.
Let's
let the boys pod.
Just let's. Let's go for it then.
Has it really been a week, Tim?
It feels like a day. It feels like only a day we were together. Let's hit that theme tune, JB. Come on.
Okay.
Get on with it. Here we are with a second Egg Chasers Rugby podcast in as many days, because during the Six Nations, we are going to be doing a special Six Nations podcast. That one went up yesterday, Monday, and this one is going up today, Tuesday. So thank you very much for tuning in. This one is all about domestic rugby around the globe, not internationals. And we've got loads to talk about. But firstly, let me just reintroduce, if you're just downloading this for the first time, that's Phil.
Hi, Tim.
That's JB.
Hello, Tim.
And you can get in touch with us at Rugby Podcast on Twitter. And just to follow up on a couple, Andy tweeted us to say, because we were having a conversation on the Six Nations pod about, we were saying once again, yeah, James Haskell did well in defence, but he limits England's play, I think, by him not being good enough at seven. And Andy points out it's all irrelevant, because by this time next year it'll be Nathan Hughes in England's back row. And and then when you also think about Dave Ewers, that could be the meatiest, biggest back row in world rugby.
Yes, it could.
You'd be very happy there, wouldn't you, Jay?
Very happy. I'd fit in nicely, actually. First reserve.
And also, we mentioned on the podcast yesterday, because Warren Gatland described the draw between Wales and Ireland as being like kissing your sister. We didn't quite get that analogy, and lots of people have got in touch and said it's particularly an American sporting thing.
Kissing your sister?
I thought certain parts of America.
Yeah, I thought American sporting thing. Oh, actually, not going into what I thought. No, don't worry. Tim won't like it.
It means, Jay Wood has tweeted us and said, have you not heard kissing your sister before? It means you get the thing, but it's entirely unsatisfying and not what it's meant to be.
Yeah, I heard someone else describe it as you get to kiss a girl, but you can't boast or save her, so it's ultimately pointless. I would say he's mad on Twitter.
Apparently, it might be a Southern Hemisphere thing as well, because Heineken Mayer likened South Africa losing the World Cup semi-final third place, fourth place playoff as kissing your sister.
Winning it.
Yes, they beat Argentina.
Winning it.
Yeah.
He likened it, so it was kind of like, yeah, it's nothing you savour. It's something that happens.
So, right. I've got a quick question for you, Tim.
Yeah.
I'm really tired. Right, I've just had a day in work, got down to the dungeon, I'm really tired. How on earth do you do morning shows?
Well, I haven't done for 4 months. and that's the one thing I can thank Chris Moyles for. But I don't know, it's tough. And you've got to remember, sometimes we would record the pod on a Sunday night, and then you two would go off and do your own thing, and you'd watch American football, yeah. And Phil would get his roasted chicken, getting it ready so he could have a nice paleo week eating. And I would spend a little bit of time editing before I could actually go to bed.
So yeah. Anyway. And then you'd be up at, what, 5 or something in the morning?
4:30.
I suppose you're quite lucky, aren't you, that you're not naturally funny, so the mornings don't really affect you that much.
Right, I've got a little game to get us into this, OK? So I've just got a quick game. So it's you've got a buzz in, and first person to get the right answer. It's a little game of Who Am I? Oh, I can't think of a name, but it's like Wikipedia Guess Who.
Oh, okay.
I like it, I like the idea.
I was born on the 24th of July 1974 in Durham. I'm a former rugby union player who played at scrum half.
Oh, okay.
I previously played for Leeds Carnegie, Gloucester Rugby.
Andy Gomersall.
Damn it!
Yes!
Damn it!
Philip,
yes!
Andy Gomersall. Well played. Also Quinns, and yeah, I could have gone on and on and on, but I don't need to.
God damn.
And so he's a former Gloucester scrum half. Let's start with Gloucester in our quick wrap-up of domestic rugby. A great win away at the Rec in the West Country Derby. Well done, Gloucester.
Very good win. I think we're building towards next year actually being Gloucester's year.
Next year will be Gloucester's year, won't it? One or two more signings.
Yeah, yeah.
Would anything from that game have been either of your highlight of the weekend of rugby?
Yeah, probably for me. The implosion of Bath. I mean, I love Bath, but they completely imploded. It wasn't good to watch. They were ahead, and they just let it slip. And they had Gloucester on the rack, particularly up front. They had a couple of dominant driving lineouts, a couple of dominant scrums. You just couldn't make it pay.
Yeah, and ultimately gave away too many penalties. But it wouldn't count as one of my highlights. Although, as a Gloucester fan,
yeah,
I'm sure
Gloucester
it's,
is first time in 4 years.
Any win at the rack, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, my highlight of the week was, and I hope it's not the same as yours, Phil, so I don't ruin it, but talking about away records and stuff, no team has won at Welford Road in almost a year and a half.
Yeah.
And Sale managed to inflict Leicester's first defeat in that period by taking them on up front and managing to...
Well, with England, with the man who should have been England forwards coach, hear me now, believe me later.
No, I'm not having that. He's good. The thing about that is he wouldn't want... I don't think his role is second fiddle to anyone.
No, that is very true. That is very true.
He'd struggle with that.
He'd be forwards coach and director of rugby.
Yeah. and chief exec.
Do you know what? I'm going to make a wild guess here and say the last people to win at Welford Road in the Premiership, was it London Irish?
Oh, they did.
It was, yeah. Because that was London Irish's first win there for 50 years, I think.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, it was when Leicester had that horrendous injury.
And listen back to the podcast for that one, because we spoke to Jeb Sinclair the day after.
Oh, yes.
They had that famous victory, and he was a kind of wounded, broken man watching X Factor in his living room eating Domino's pizza. It was a good chat.
That result surprised me more than just about any this weekend. Yeah. Mainly because Leicester hardly lost anyone.
Mm.
If you look purely in terms of the international squads, Leicester only lost two players. Ben Youngs and Dan Cole.
Wow.
So no one else. There were other players missing.
Yeah.
Because, for example, Tom Youngs dropped out before kickoff. But
purely unavailable due to international rugby.
But and Manu Tuilagi obviously wasn't available.
Yeah.
But Giraldini dropped in for Ben Youngs, so you'd got international hooker replaced by international hooker. So it's not like they were losing. And Manu, he's played, two games in a year and a half? So I was really surprised about that.
Manu Tuilagi injured again. Have you seen the strangest injury that anyone's got?
I read about it today, but I can't remember what it is.
The Connacht fly half, isn't it? Is it Carty?
Connacht Jack Carty ruptures his spleen by going on a water slide while on holiday in Dubai.
Ooh.
This is why I always say health and safety first and foremost.
And don't go on water slides, is your other saying.
That's something I'll be heeding now.
I bet that wouldn't have been in his contract, because there's lots of things rugby players can't do contractually, like skiing or going on a motorcycle.
Do you reckon there's hordes of rugby players shaking their fists in anger? Damn you, because this is what they do now.
Contracts rewritten.
Yeah. They've all booked to go to water slides somewhere. Not anymore.
I just love the sentence. Connacht coach Pat Lam confirmed that his fly half Jack Carty could be ruled out for 3 months suffering a ruptured spleen on a water slide.
Wilkinson getting an injury, not dissimilar. But he had a severed kidney.
Johnny Wilkinson would never go jumping down a water slide.
No. This is in a game. He had a severed kidney.
Yeah. Well, that's
and they said most likely found in car accidents.
Oof. Well, the thing is, James O'Connor had it as well.
Did he?
Lacerated kidney.
Sounds horrific.
Yeah. I'm sure his had taken some heavy alcohol abuse prior to the injury.
Yeah, it wasn't as strong as Johnny's kidney. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, probably
mind
not.
Mind you. Maybe James Connor's got stronger kidneys, like you work out. It's the same sort of thing, isn't it?
Built up a tolerance to damage.
We did call, looking at the weekend's rugby, there was lots and lots of close results. I mean, I think every game in the Aviva Premiership was within 7 points. Every team got at least a losing bonus point.
Yes.
And a priceless win for London Irish.
Yes.
Against Worcester. They needed that so badly, but... and that was a win at all costs thing. Newcastle could have done a job at Wasps and just narrowly missed out.
Do you know what's really interesting?
What?
Like, the fact that they each had the other's fly halves.
They did.
That's a good
the
point.
Former, they had last year's, well, not last year's in Gopeth's case, but they had former fly halves.
It's weird because, you know, Gopeth is now a premium player, if you like. He must be one of the, I'd say he's one of the highest paid players in the entire Prem.
He can't be far off, no.
It's weird to think he made his bones in Newcastle.
Only one of those two tens hates pre-season. That was on the field right then.
It's not Gopeth's shoulders. He looks stacked.
Yeah.
He looks in great
really
shape.
He is.
He does look in good shape. But Wasps have always loved that physical preparation, haven't they?
Yeah. Yeah, take after Haskell.
Yeah.
There's a few of them in good shape.
Good to see Nathan Hughes back as well.
Yeah, Nathan Hughes and Christian Wade back.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yes.
Had a disallowed try, which was correct. He was in front of the kicker.
And Saracens, once again, were so Saracens, and we don't need to carry on talking about it. They just eked out a win.
And
observe, adjust, destroy.
Yeah.
That's all they do.
They let...
It's amazing. It's truly amazing.
They gave Exeter enough ball to score one try and kick a couple of penalties to go 11-0 up, and then just readjusted and calculated what they needed to do to win.
People talk,
and
did it about off-the-cuff rugby, like identifying space, good decisions. But imagine being so good as a team, you can identify as a team
the weaknesses.
They're just incredible.
Crunch numbers on the fly during the game.
Yeah. They're just incredible. They are incredible.
In that, there was a disallowed try as well.
Yeah.
Which shouldn't have been disallowed. Mm. So Exeter could have been, 17, 18 nil up at one stage. And then it really would have been difficult for Saracens to come back.
Did you see the James Short try?
Yes.
The interception.
Yeah.
Now, what struck me is I was actually watching Chad Hodgson in awe because I thought, God, he's moving well. Did you see what...
Yeah, he picks the gap. He goes for the offload and it doesn't... He half gets tackled as he goes to the offload. It just doesn't quite go to hand.
But the second before he throws that pass, you're thinking, this guy looks like he's 25, not 35 or whatever.
Because a few minutes earlier, he'd made a really good 30-yard break as well.
Yeah.
And he retires at the end of the season.
He can't retire.
I know. Chris Dix, talking about the James Short try. Chris Dix, who has a very appropriate name, given the content of his tweet, said, "Look at the passion and or pain in James Short's face immediately after scoring a try and the inevitable Chiefs cock tap." There he is. Look at James.
That's nice.
James Short getting,
did he not get
getting
injured?
The Exeter cock tap and looking in equal amounts of agony and ecstasy.
I think that's because he dived over. Like, you see his dive?
Yeah.
He deserves it.
He's worked hard for that cock tap.
Do you think he's in contention for Viva Player of the Year?
No.
Not yet.
I think he might be.
He had a good first couple of weeks and he's had a very good last few weeks. I don't think he's been consistently right up there. He's had a solid season.
Anyone you can think of for Aviva Player of the Year at the moment?
Itoji,
yeah.
Itoji's a good shout.
He's sort of head and shoulders at the moment.
James Shortwood, if you had a top 10 list, he'd probably be up there. He'd be in the conversation, certainly.
He'd be in the conversation. If you were picking a team of the season right now, bearing in mind we're at the halfway point, he'd be someone you mentioned on the wing position.
They'd pick him.
For sure.
They'd pick him and quite even
Chris Ashton's been pretty good.
Tolusa Vianu.
Vianu's been great.
Has been exceptionally one of the signings of the season. Well, we are halfway through the season.
We
the
are
Premiership.
Exactly, yeah, it's round 11.
11 games in.
It's not a bad time to actually take stock and consider these things.
It's a good time, Jay.
Oh, thanks.
Very appropriate.
So if we were going to take stock, what would you take stock of halfway through the Aviva Premiership season?
Exactly how
Bath is the one thing you have to take stock of, isn't it? That Bath are in...
free fall almost.
They're in ninth position.
I don't really have the answer for Bath either. Play better? I mean, it just loose passes. It's weird.
It's funny, Jose Mourinho has his three-year thing. So he has a massive impact years one and two. And then year three, every club he's been to... He's fallen off. I don't necessarily think that that's what's happened here. And repeating what we said on last week's podcast, I just think there's lots and lots of tiny little things that is out of Mike Ford's control largely that have all conspired at the same time. And then it's become a mental issue and it's just one of those things that spiraled down.
If you're that unlucky, you're usually not unlucky.
Yeah, I quite like the idea. You kind of, you almost make your own luck by doing the right things at the right time, right players, right strategy.
But there are some things, like, you're looking at them, and you have a really good point, Tim, that they're just throwing passes on the floor. But there again, they, you know, they bring off Chris Cook because the most composed man behind a rolling maul. Exactly. Has to be, I can't remember his name now.
Nico Matawalu.
That's who you want, isn't it?
I was tearing my hair out. That last 5 minutes when they've got a line out 5 metres from Gloucester try line, they're 4 points behind.
Bring on your closer.
And you don't want Nico Matawalu controlling that rolling maul, do you? Because he gave the pass to Francois Lowe, who was isolated and got turned over and gave the penalty.
Man, Francois Lowe must have been asking for it.
I don't know. I think Matawalu does first and thinks about it later.
It's the other thing to take stock of is we've pretty much got a three-way relegation scrap. Worcester, Irish, Newcastle, 1 point between them.
Yeah,
Worcester have lost, what's that, 12 straight games now?
Including
Europe. In all competitions.
Yeah.
After starting so promisingly.
They do look like the best of all three teams.
But they just lost to London Irish. And Irish did have a try disallowed as well.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
Yeah.
For the, I think it was Jeb Sinclair.
But didn't we also say that London Irish will start to come good towards the end of the season as a new coach beds in?
Yeah.
And they spent some money there as well. Newcastle Falcons look like the poor relation to me. And also, Worcester Warriors need to stay up because they've spent so much money for next year already, allegedly.
I actually think Worcester are on current form, and it's easy to say because they've lost 12 on the bounce, but I think they are looking like the weakest of those three sides. They started the best.
Fly half.
Yeah.
Where's the direction for that team?
Yeah.
What, for Worcester?
They've got
for Worcester, yeah.
They've got
massive amount of endeavour. They've got good leadership positions, Van Veltzer and Dowson and people like that, and Cooper Vuna experience in lots of positions. But where's the direction of that team coming? That's going to eke out wins.
Just a quick question. This is for Phil, because you watch Pro 12. Tell me about Ben Tail. Who is he? What's his background? Is he any good?
He's a South Sydney Rabbitohs rugby league player.
Okay.
And direct running centre as a rugby league player, although I think he's a bit of a utility, so he could be using the second row centre. They normally cross over. And he went to Leinster at the same time that Sam Burgess left. They both won the championship, won the NRL, and they both went. Burgess went to Bath, he went to Leinster.
And is Teo qualified for someone?
He's English qualified because he's got an English mother.
Ah.
But he's either Kiwi or Australian rugby league player, I think.
So why did he end up in New Zealand? I still understand why he's in Leinster and what the big deal is about him if he does come over. Is he definitely coming to Worcester?
Yes.
Is that confirmed?
Yes.
So what is the big deal about him coming over to Worcester?
Well, he would be eligible for England if he's play, because he's eligible for England, but he's not playing in England currently. So next season, when he does play in England, he would be eligible for England. And a lot of people see him as kind of a like-for-like replacement for Manu Tuilagi.
Is he that big?
He's a big boy. He's not quite as heavy. He's probably half a stone or so lighter than Manu Tuilagi. But he's still a big boy for a centre. And he can play a bit as well. He was a bit loose when he first started, a bit loose with the rules, and like you saw with Burgess, a lot of like swinging arm high shots. Got binned a lot for that. But he's a good player. I don't think he'll ever play for England though.
So he's not one for us to get excited about when he comes over and to keep an eye on.
No, it would take some serious injuries for us to start getting excited about him.
But back to Twitter briefly. Tom Silker said, two Egg Chasers Rugby podcasts in a week. What a treat. Well, yeah, this is the plan for the duration of the Six Nations. So any weekend when there's a Six Nations match, you'll get two.
A lot can happen in 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Also, Alistair said, separate Six Nations and domestic rugby podcast. Are we building towards JB's own Pro 12 rugby pod?
Maybe. You
know, so my phone, for some reason, because I've got it set up to play podcasts in the car, for some reason it's recently started reverting to the Pro 12 soundbite as like my default. As soon as I get in the car, it's like gunshots.
Ba-ba-bum-bum-ba-ba-bum-bum. Oh, good. Good to see that my sound clip hasn't gone to waste then.
Yes, very good.
Elsewhere in the Premiership, again, like Wasps and Northampton started to... Well, Northampton, we'll wait and see if that lasts. But whereas Bath keep going down, Northampton and Wasps are starting to have a bit of an upward trajectory. And it's been said before, and we all knew what the rules were, and we've been talking about this period during the Six Nations. We know how massively important this is. Who is worse off, Phil? Because you've done a little spreadsheet about the players missing. You mentioned Leicester are only missing two.
Yeah.
In terms of players in international squads. Who's worst off and who's best off? I'm guessing Sale are best off.
Sale, Worcester, Newcastle didn't lose anyone. Then
it's kind of almost like a backhanded compliment in some ways.
Gloucester only lost Laidlaw. Leicester, Coles and Youngs. Exeter, Francis, Campagnaro, who's kind of second choice anyway, and Noel for three. Then Bath, Quinns and... Northampton, four. But one of those four was Paul Hill, and they had Kieran Brooks starting anyway, so that's not really a loss. Bath lost five, Quinns lost five, Wasps lost five, Saracens lost seven.
And still went to Sandy Park and ended their almost year-long unbeaten home record.
Goodness. Just looking as well, Quinns look like they've lost out most because of the people they have lost.
Yes.
The quality.
Sure.
And also they don't... We've seen it against Montpellier. Their first 15 have beaten Saracens, but their second 15 have come unstuck a lot.
Let me have a look at some of the games in the Pro 12 and let's have a little quick game. Let's have a quick game. Oh, go on then, JB. Go on.
Sorry.
This is a presentation from the world's most explosive league. The creators of Dragons 13, Zebra Nil, starring Rory Pittman, Scott Andrews, and Luke Burgess, the other one. And definitely not featuring Aroni, Celtic Warriors, or Border Reavers. This is the Pro 12 Report.
Right,
let's get into it.
Little quick game, bearing in mind teams missing players. I'm going to say a name. You have to try and tell me what team they play for, JB. There's someone that started for a team in the Pro 12.
Well, this weekend? Because there's only one game.
Well, okay, well then let's see how much JB's been paying attention. Luddick.
Luddick sounds like he should be from Leinster.
Ulster.
Louis Luddick, South African fullback.
Oh yeah.
Stockdale.
No, it doesn't mean anything to me.
Ulster.
Okay.
O'Brien.
Sean.
No, it was a fly half called O'Brien.
No, don't know. Never heard him.
Newport Gwent Dragons.
Okay, there you go.
Landman.
Oh, I know him. South African guy who looks like Brim Williams.
Yes.
Second row for the Dragons. Yeah.
Reinhard Landman.
Yeah. As Phil said, there was only one game.
Oh, sorry, hang on. Did you just give away the fact that I should have guessed because there's only one game?
There's only one game.
All right, okay. So genuinely, I wasn't just playing dumb then. I didn't know who these people were. I thought I'd guess which Pro 12 scene they were in.
And the... actually, to be fair, Ulster had quite a few good players out. They had Dyack and Wilson in their back row, and Olding, Cave, Gilroy, Humphreys and Pienaar in their back line. It wasn't a bad side at all. And they came from behind at half time and beat Dragons in the only game.
I can't believe Boris Stankovic still plays rugby. I can't believe he still plays rugby. I mean, maybe he was very young at Tigers, but I don't think he was.
I don't know, how old is he?
He must be, like, I'm going to guess, 36.
No, I reckon he's 32 or 33.
Boom! 36 on the nose.
Is he really?
He was 36.
Really?
Exactly 1 month ago.
Wow.
When you listen to this tomorrow, when you listen to this on February the 9th.
There you go.
I watched this game. I was dual screening this and the Bath Gloucester game because look at my shirt, JB.
It's very tight.
It's an exceptionally tight.
It's committed.
Ruan Pienaar Ulster shirt. It was not a pretty performance by Ulster. They were behind for 77 minutes of the game, but just snuck it at the end. Dragons' defence was superb throughout. Really, really put good pressure on Ulster and didn't let them, because it was a good strong Ulster team.
Right, now bearing in mind we're going to have Super Rugby starting in a couple of weeks, aren't we?
26th of February, I believe.
They're warming up.
Yeah, okay. Warm-ups have started already.
We need to either come to some agreement between us, or we need to draw lots if it has to go there. But we need to, I think, have sort of someone who takes responsibility for summarising what's going on. Because when there's all the rugby going on, we've got Six Nations, Super Rugby, Top 14, Aviva Premiership, Pro 12. We're going to be hard pushed to keep an eye on everything. So is there anyone want to take control of something? So we can just,
let me be very clear about what will happen. If you give me the Pro 12, you'll have answers like you just had then, which is what happened on the weekend? I don't know. Who is this guy? I don't know. I'm happy to do the... No, do you know what? I'm happy to do the Super 15 or Super Rugby.
Super Rugby.
But if anyone is out there who wants to actually, you know, write out what happened and then email them to me, get in touch on Twitter.
If anyone wants to do JB's work for him.
Yeah, help me out. I tend to watch the Saturday morning game because that's good fun.
All right. Well, you summarise Super Rugby. Phil, you summarise Pro 12 and I'll take the Top 14 then.
Sounds good.
On the times when there's so much rugby, it's hard to cover it all off, we can just go, right, give us a quick Super Rugby update, JB, and blah, 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 you'll summarise it, what's going on.
Yeah.
Nice and concise.
Good. Right.
Ahead of that, Jay, if you're going to take Super Rugby...
Maybe it's not great if I do Super Rugby. Being dyslexic and not being able to read names of Fijians is difficult. I lean heavily on Phil for this.
I normally watch quite a bit of Super Rugby anyway, we'll be okay.
And the fella.
Just on this... in 2 weeks' time, then, can you prepare just a small presentation explaining the new format for Super Rugby?
Yes, because Jay, do
because
that.
Easy.
There's now 18 teams.
Oh, of course, not Super 15 anymore, is it?
No. There's 18 teams. There's a sixth South African team. There's
got conferences.
I've heard of the Kings. Is that Southern Kings?
The Kings are in.
It's got regional conferences, effectively. So you'll like it. It's a bit like your NFL.
Apparently, they are in a world of trouble. From everything from the money to the...
Stash.
The stash.
Where's the stash? Oh, yes, I've seen it.
It's
horrendous.
Horrible. I mean, the franchise, doesn't matter if they had all the money and all the players in the world, that franchise deserves to bomb just purely because of the kit.
But instead of making... So there's three conferences, am I right in saying that?
Yeah.
No, four conferences.
Four conferences, yeah.
There's Australia... there's an Australian conference and New Zealand conference with five teams in each. And then there's two... African conferences, one which incorporates the Argentinian team and one which incorporates the Japanese team.
Exactly.
But then that doesn't really make sense to me. It would have made more sense to have two conferences of nine each, put Japan with Australia. Oh no, but then that's 11 play eight.
Right, you're doing JB's job for him. Right, 2 weeks.
Can I just point out Southern Kings, worst name ever? Kings. I couldn't think of a less cohesive unit than 15 Kings.
You need some minions to
yeah 15 yes Southern minions work. They would work well together. Good teamwork.
Right, let's get into the games that are coming up this weekend then. So we're not worrying about Six Nations in this one. If you're just downloading this podcast and expecting to hear loads of Six Nations stuff, then we've done two pods and download the one that we released yesterday, the 8th of February. So get that one downloaded. That's all about the Six Nations. In terms of domestic rugby, starting up, there's a game on Thursday night. Dragons host Connacht, who are without their water sliding fly half.
And Robbie Henshaw.
Dragons were quite impressive. Connacht, Sean, of a couple of key players. Are you thinking Dragons will win at home then?
Dragons are third from bottom at the moment, aren't they? And Connacht are very near the top.
I'll give me Connacht.
A home win, Dragons.
Connacht the Dragons. Oh, Connacht.
Friday night, and in the Aviva Premiership, Newcastle host Leicester. No waterlogged pitches here. And by the way, with all the rain we've had, and you had your game called off at the weekend.
Yeah, we did.
Thank goodness there hasn't been any called off games in the Premiership, because already there's going to be a week where Sale Sharks have to play 3 games in 10 days.
Yes.
Which is against the regulations as they're set out.
Is that right?
I feel really sorry for Sale Sharks there. Yeah.
Yeah, you're supposed to play five days, if they
win the quarterfinal of the European Challenge Cup. I think Leicester will bounce back and win.
Yes, I'll also go for Leicester. But Newcastle to get a losing bonus point, which could be key.
Leinster Zebre.
Leinster at home, even though they've hardly got any players.
Ulster Glasgow.
Ulster don't lose anywhere near as many players as Glasgow to the to the Six Nations, so
and
Ulster at home.
Scarlets flying high against Edinburgh, who again lose a lot of players. I'd have to go Scarlets at home for that one.
Yeah, Scarlets at home.
Saturday, and we have in the Aviva Premiership, Sale Sharks hosting Exeter. This is pretty intriguing, this
one. It is.
That'll be a great game.
I'm not sure Exeter have got a particularly good record at Sale either.
No.
Mind you, historic Exeter teams can't really compare to this Exeter team because they're so much better. You've got to say Exeter will bounce back.
I don't think Exeter are so much better. This is what I kind of love about Exeter, is incrementally they are a bit better every time.
Yeah, but this is the best version of Exeter.
Oh yeah, that's
what I mean.
No question.
It is.
Yeah. I'm going to go Sale.
I'm going to go Sale as well. It's a very difficult place to go. I can't imagine the weather will get much better. Exeter are missing a couple of people in the pack through injury and internationals. Give me Sale.
Exeter, I think.
Gloucester. I'm going Gloucester at home.
Quins, they don't lose quite as many players as Saracens, but what they do lose has the biggest impact on them.
Saints Irish.
Saints. Did either of you see the highlights of the game?
I did. Look, what a cracking game. 24-27.
Great game with a try in the last second because Ben Botica failed to make touch with his clearance. But Big Luth
playing
at 13 and was excellent. Really, really good.
Who played as well then? Hanrahan or
no.
Malinder?
Malinder.
He's a big old unit, isn't he?
He's a big unit and he's already played.
He's a tall drink of water.
15, 10, 12, 13 in the Premiership. He's a one to watch for the future.
For sure.
Malinder, Farrell, Ford.
Apparently Grayson's got a son at Northampton as well.
Is that right?
Yeah. Oh, we're going to have to do a legacy 15.
Yeah.
Because there must be other players as well.
Yeah.
Jobs for the boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, legacy. I like it. Reece Ruddock.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
Oh, who else is there? There must be more.
Sam Vesti Senior. four generations of Vesties.
Yeah.
Yeah. One for next week's pod, perhaps.
Yeah, one Legacy for next 15. Week's pod. Legacy 15, help us out. If there's anyone with any coaches or ex-player, or Farrell, kind of. Although Andy Farrell did play for England, so yeah, that counts.
Yeah.
So there we go. Players that have are coming through that are sons of ex-players. Let us know at Rugby Podcast. Tweet us, and we'll do that 15 next week. Mike, and again, George Ford.
Yeah.
And Bath go to Worcester.
Relegation battle. Can we call it that yet? Bath are fourth bottom.
I feel so sorry for Bath.
Why have they got all the money in the world? This is so unlike you, Tim. I'd understand if you felt sorry for the small, punchy team with a small budget. But Bath spend right to the salary cap, maybe even more, and they're still in ninth place.
I don't think it would be different necessarily if anyone else was running the show.
Oh, I think it would be.
That's the point.
I think it would be.
Maybe we'll find out very soon.
Well, Tony
Booth was running the show.
The way it's going, we are going to find out very, very soon.
Yeah.
I think Bath will win away.
Bath are losing so many players, and Worcester don't lose anyone.
And Worcester are a scrappy team.
I think this will be one or two points either way. This is going to be.
Do you think Worcester lack fitness?
I think there's an argument to say that Bath lack fitness.
Yeah.
In the last two games, they were 13-0 up against Sarries, 11-0 up against Gloucester. And lost both of them.
I'm not sure it's that Worcester lack fitness.
They've been right in it until half time for most games.
Well, yeah, I completely agree. However, you look at the players that come off the bench, they've got loads of kids. And it's part of. Dean Ryan has done really well at taking
kids off leads.
Getting some of those kids up to a level. But other players can bring on real experience. off the bench, and Worcester don't have that.
Do you know what? Bath United all of a sudden don't seem that powerful. Right? When you look at their bench options, the people they're bringing on, people who are playing really well.
That's because they're not playing well. David Wilson. What has happened to David Wilson?
Yeah.
I mean, he used to be a fear. People used to be frightened to death of
him. People would think he's a good tight head.
People
never feared.
He was the dominant tight head in English rugby a couple of years ago.
Yeah. He was starting for England.
Yeah.
I still don't think he was regarded as the best tight head. I think he's ever been regarded as a world.
He was a fearsome prospect, and he's now
prospect.
A shadow.
Prospect is exactly right.
To play against, you'd be like, oh God, we got our work cut out today. And now you're just like, okay, well, he's reasonable, but nothing special. And multiply that by pretty much the whole squad.
I wonder if Bath is a little bit of a case of form is temporary, that sort of thing. Because a lot of these guys who are in good form no longer are in good form.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
And yeah, last year everything was going right. They introduced like Henry Thomas and Nick Autorak, the young lads, and they stepped up. Whereas this year they've not quite managed the same
level.
Well,
maybe Autorak isn't quite as experienced or isn't quite as good without Paul James ahead of him.
Maybe.
Who knows?
Yeah.
Bennett and Treviso host the Blues.
Oh, right.
Saturday lunchtime.
Oh, a big fixture.
Huge fixture. They'll be turning out in their tens.
Blues
away will win that one. And then on to Sunday, what matchups do we have on Sunday?
Saracens host Wasps.
That could be interesting.
On go the Borg.
Yeah, but do you know what? There is something worrying me about Saracens at the moment, which is they do let other teams get ahead and then they adjust and they win. But sometimes you get too far ahead, like happened with Harlequins. You can't catch them.
Yeah.
And Wasps are exactly the sort of team. They could just come out firing. You know, they could be running everything, running and try three. And running and tries for fun. That's what I was trying to say.
Sarri's just went to Exeter and ended Exeter's almost year-long record at home. They're going to keep their own home record intact, I believe.
I'm not so certain. I actually think if you give Wasps an inch, they've got, with Wade back, with Nathan Hughes back, Pia Tau in there, if you give him an inch, they'll take a mile. So I'm going to go for Wasps away at Sarries.
Right, okay, cool.
Nice to see Jackson Ray playing, though. Jackson Ray's got a very similar playing schedule to someone like Gethin Jenkins.
Does Jackson Ray count for the Legacy 15?
Why?
Well, Nigel Ray.
Is it his dad?
I don't actually know. I assume that is.
Someone can clear that one up as well.
I assume it is because we've been waiting at CJ saying it.
And rounding off the rugby, Munster play Ospreys, 5 p.m. kickoff on Sunday evening. And Munster will win that one at home.
Yes, Munster at home.
Yes, right. And that is your rugby for the weekend. So we need a Legacy 15 to @rugbypodcast. Any of your thoughts on anything you've heard or anything else, @rugbypodcast, you can tweet us. Six Nations podcast coming on Monday, and we'll have another domestic rugby podcast next Tuesday. Nice one, Phil.
Thank you, Tim.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This one, JB.
Thank you, Tim.
In a bit.
Bye.